Scotland is in the middle of a really gigantic and important debate right now, and the country is having a conversation with itself, and it's incredibly fascinating. The question is, should Scotland be independent? It's a big question. It would involve a lot of things happening in this country that would change the way people live and work. And I think it's fair to say there's a lot of people who want to say yes, Scotland should be independent. There's plenty of people who say no, Scotland should not be independent. And there's quite a few people who just don't know. So with that in mind, the National Theatre of Scotland has created a show called The Great Yes, No, Don't Know 5-Minute Theatre Show, which pretty much does what it says on the tin. David Gregg, who we'll have on the podcast today, has curated a series of 5-minute theatre pieces, which will be performed throughout Scotland, both in theatres throughout the country, as well as online. Starting on the 23rd of June, from 5 p.m., they're going to pack 24 hours with live theaters from Scotland and beyond on the theme of independence. And so with that in mind, we're really excited to have David Gregg on the podcast to talk about this ambitious project that is truly international. I guess that's what this really is all about. How best to be a democracy.
Hello, everybody.
It's the multicolored cultural laser. We travel the world for the boys and the girls, casting pots of wonder and amazement. Multicolored cultural laser.
My name's David Gregg. I'm a playwright, and in this context, I'm working on the Great Yes, No, Don't Know 5-Minute Theatre Show for the National Theatre of Scotland. So 5-Minute Theatre is an idea that the National Theatre of Scotland had on their 5th anniversary. They basically opened up the doors to everybody. They asked for submissions from everybody and anybody to make a 5-minute theatre piece. And what they did was they promised to stream the performances of those 5-minute plays online over 24 hours. Their only request was that your piece is 5 minutes long and that it had an audience. You would attract your audience. You would do it in some place. You do it. And people did them outdoors. They did aerial shows in Drill Hall in Edinburgh, but they also did plays in various village halls, and they also did performances in front rooms and everything. And it was amazing, and it was an extraordinary thing, and it lasted 24 hours, and it really was the first time I'd ever encountered that type of way of showing performance, actually, and I was really taken with it. I really liked it. And they've done it a couple of times since, but not for the full 24 hours, because obviously very resource heavy to do that. Fast forward, referendum year, National Theatre of Scotland thinking about how it responds to that and the feeling that it ought to. David McLennan, the late David McLennan now, because he sadly died last week, despite us very much hoping he'd been ill for a very long time, and we had hoped very much that he'd be able to be part of this show. But he and I came up with the idea of a political variety cabaret. But we realised that if we were going to do that in referendum year, we'd have to be sort of balanced, and we'd have to be all BBC, and then would we tour it, because it's the whole of Scotland that's concerned. And it felt very, somehow every time we thought about it, it got bigger and bigger, until eventually somebody popped the bubble, and we realised really the way to do political variety cabaret around the referendum was to open it up to the whole of Scotland and to say to everybody, submit your ideas, come in, come up with your ideas, your thoughts, your songs, your poems. And we will thread within that a little strand as well of work that David has written and that I've written, and that we'll do at Oran Mór on the night. But basically, the overwhelming thing, what is the Great Yes, No, Don't Know 5-Minute Theatre Show? Well, it's a massive nationwide political variety show on the theme of the referendum. It contains plays, sketches, physical theatre ideas, songs, all kinds of approaches. And there's work from the Western Isles and Caithness, and work from the Borders. So it's the nation. The way I think of it is it's Scotland thinking about itself in an imaginative way. And you get to sit and watch that on your computer for 24 hours if you would like so to do. or you can go to one of the hubs. Oran Moore is a hub, so you can go and participate in watching shows there, or you may have friends already involved who you can go and watch their show. So there's different ways you can interact with it, but I think one of the ways that's most fun is to sit and have a glass of lemonade or white wine and, you know, just watch what's happening all around, and in fact outside Scotland as well, because we have submissions from the rest of the world, but the bulk of it's from Scotland.
Let's talk about some of these submissions, because you went through, I guess you would have gone through
250 submissions. I think that's come down to about 180 plays being shown. It was extraordinary to go through the submissions, actually. I did it, I was sitting one evening in a hotel in Fort William and thought, oh God, this is going to be awful. I just so quickly got lost in it, and it was like reading a wonderful avant-garde novel, because each page, they'd all had to do their submission on one page. Their idea had to be basically one page. Just the ideas were brilliant, and there were so many of them, and so sort of tangential and yet illuminating about the referendum. And some were obviously very pro-independence, and some were obviously very against independence, but none of them really were propagandistic, or at least they all at least opened the door to the other idea. And in fact, the bulk of them were not, you could almost not tell where the person sat themselves, but they had created a debate, and that was what I loved, that theatre sort of demands that you have dialogue, you have the other point of view contained in your work, you know, and that made the whole thing really rather, by the end of that 3 hours of reading these submissions, I was quite emotional. I really did feel like I'd had a sense of what the people of Scotland were thinking about stuff, but not because they'd all written down, oh, I care about the NHS, but because they'd written their plays, and their plays reflected something of themselves and their communities.
Hey, girls. What yous talking about?
The referendum.
Oh, God.
So get off that fence. What do you say? I have to say I'm fearful.
Haven't you noticed we've got nothing in common?
What? No, of course we do. We both like football, beer, rugby.
Yeah. I need more than that.
Well, what do you expect? I mean, I took you to the theatre and you didn't like it.
Do you think it's because of the nature of sort of having a very short, concentrated piece, and also the nature of theatre itself, that it just couldn't get too polemical? Because that must have been a big worry for you as a curator.
No, I mean, oddly, actually, I think 5 minute theatre could be quite polemical. I think it would be quite easy to sort of just think, oh, right, you know, a 5 minute rant. But people just didn't do that. I mean, that was the interesting thing, is that they really didn't do that. And even the ones who it was plain they had a point of view had obviously tried to open up their imagination in such a way as to be something more than just a rant. Yeah, we had one or two rants, and most of those didn't end up making the cut. But what I loved was that we never made that decision. I speak as somebody who's on the record as being a very pro yes vote. We never made those decisions politically. In fact, there was plenty things that I've either cut or wrote back to the writer advising that they really changed their approach, because it was too polemical, but not because it was too polemical because I disagreed with the content, but it was too polemical, it was boring, you know, and it could have been more interesting. So generally people responded well, and we never really faced that as a major issue, you know, because people's imaginations were more fertile.
I mean, who's writing these pieces? Because I want to say, what's the mood of the country based on these pieces? But maybe that's too extrapolating too far. I mean, is this a particularly artistic set of people? Is it a particularly creative set of people?
I think it's much more open than you might think. I mean, of course, it's a self-selecting set of people, but they include primary school teachers who've got their classes together to develop stuff, and they include amateur dramatic companies in city and rural areas, and it also includes individuals. And I suppose, you know, if we had made a show with a group of National Theatre of Scotland writers and actors, that in its own way would have been a particular demographic, whereas people who are in an amateur dramatics company, they may be creative types, but they're not living in a creative bubble. I mean, they probably work in that local area. Their colleagues will come and see the show that they write. Colleagues might well be in the show that they've written. So they can't be sort of like hipster bus of National Collective types. They will inevitably take a much, much wider sense of their communities with them, I think. And that was the sense I got when reading it, was what I loved was not that it was overwhelmingly yes or no, because it wasn't. It actually probably shook out maybe 20% you could sort of tell were yes, 20% you could sort of tell no. All the rest, you just couldn't tell what they thought. So that probably feels actually not dissimilar to, you know, the general population, certainly as the opinion polls suggest. But the thing that I loved was that you just got this sense of dialogue, this sense of people engaging, thinking, asking questions. What is this really about? Why should we think about it? What is a country anyway? What's a border? You know, all of these sorts of questions get asked. And I really loved that. I thought, actually, I've used a lot as democratic. And it feels to me, you know, I'm quite enthusiastic about the referendum. But if one of the things that the referendum produces that is good is the fact that we did this 5-minute theatre, I think that will be 24 hours worth of proper democracy. Like, I mean, actual, like, not just democracy because people are talking to each other, but they're doing it through their imagination and the theatre. And I once saw a fantastic documentary about ancient Greece, which sort of connected the rise of Greek theatre with Greek democracy, that the two things were very linked, because theatres were effectively democratic gathering places where people came to make decisions, and then it became also a performance space, and the sort of growth of the two were in parallel. And I think there's something in that, and I think there's something in imagining and seeing the other guy's point of view and playing out the debate and articulating both sides and so on, that is intrinsic to theatre and to democracy. So for me, the exciting thing is that all across Scotland, these stories are being told in different ways. But of course, it's also about your experience when you watch it. So you're sitting at home, you might be in your Leith bedsit and watching online, and you'll see somebody sing a song on a bridge in Skye, in Gaelic, and you'll reflect on that. And your reflection will be partly to do with what you see, it will partly to do with your own mood at that very moment. It could be 1 o'clock in the morning and you're coming from the pub and you're feeling a bit maudlin and you'll be thinking about what that Gaelic lament means. And then immediately thereafter, you may well find that you're seeing a group of primary school kids by the canal in Falkirk doing a show sort of in the shadow of the Kelpie statues. And I think in a way that none of us can predict, because we literally don't know exactly what's following on until just about the day before, you might, that same mood of going, oh, that lament coming up from Skye, and they go, oh, here are children, and your mood will shift again as simply by the act of this being performed by kids, and then you'll think about what they're doing, and then your mood will shift again because you'll be seeing, you know, a monologue perhaps from a different perspective, and this will carry on. And so I guess what I'm saying is it's as much about how you engage with all of these things. And you might switch it off then, and you might go to bed, and then you might decide to watch a bit the next day. But you're unique. No one else will have your experience of 5-minute theatre. Only you will. Even the people who watch it all the way through, and there will be one or two diehards, even they won't have the same experience, because they will be located in their own place, and that will be reflected in their experience. So I like that. I think that's really, it really feels to me very 21st century democracy, but connected to ancient democracy.
Because you can't have a democracy without being engaged. And I think so much of what you see in with the sort of recent European elections, this disengagement and what that creates, you know, loads of people not voting. Whereas if you look at, say, you know, a country like India or something, loads of people are voting, very excited about voting, totally engaged in the process, whereas, you know, you kind of take it for granted. And then, of course, the theater, you can't really get the most of a piece of theater unless you're engaged with it, unless the artist has done something right to make you empathize and engage with the characters on the stage. It's a really interesting parallel that I'd not quite thought of before.
I think that's right. And I think the other thing to consider is that what does engaging politically mean? And when we look at the newspapers, everything is very binary. Politics, by its nature, you know, to some extent is binary. The referendum, similarly binary. And that binary quality is frustrating, I think. And the one thing theatre doesn't really like or allow is sort of very simple statements of position. It just doesn't really go with that. So I think the engagement that you get from plays is this imaginative, your mind wanders, and it's as much about where your mind goes as you're watching. That deepens your experience. And I hope, obviously, it's a very high turnout, and I hope in this referendum. But I hope it's a very high turnout because people have thought and empathised and imagined, and, you know, they put a bit of work in.
Australian?
Scottish.
Oh, are you a tourist?
No.
Good. I hate tourists. If they really lived in New York, they'd never want to visit here.
How do you get lost in the middle of Istanbul, in front of everybody watching?
I have good news.
You found him.
No.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
No.
Can you tell me a bit about what the international submissions were like and what those will be like? Because that's a really interesting thing, that, you know, the fact that we're even having this debate in Scotland is phenomenal, right? And it's one of these things that actually on Facebook, just after, I mean, this is a stupid thing, but one of the only battles I've had on Facebook recently was about gun control, where, you know, after the shooting in Connecticut where I grew up, somebody posted just a really eloquent little kind of piece that I seconded, where they said, you know, in America, you know, in Scotland, there was the Dunblane massacre, mm-hmm. and guns were banned, and now there's this vote, peaceful vote for a referendum about whether or not to leave the United Kingdom, and that's an amazing thing, and maybe America could consider possibly not having guns because maybe through the democracy is robust enough mm-hmm. in order to, you know, do this. And this lit off a whole firestorm. But I thought, wow, that's a really interesting point. This is a nonviolent, peaceful thing that's happening. And I wonder what other people around the world are thinking.
Well, I mean, there's sort of two questions. First of all, about your general point, I absolutely take, and I think we don't celebrate enough. One of the things I'm excited about, the 24-hour, the five-minute theatre show, is it reflects my experience of the debate, which is that it is thoughtful and peaceful and funny and self-deprecating and self-aware. You know, nobody likes, Scotland's a very consensus-loving country, and of course a divisive question, or not divisive, you know, but a question that is binary requires people to be on different sides, and that can feel uncomfortable. There is something astonishing, actually, and to be celebrated about the way that we're going about this. Have people noticed abroad? Yes, they have. In terms of the submissions to our five-minute theatre, though, you know, there's obviously many less, and a lot of them simply take a very tangential idea approach to the idea of independence. So remember, not everything is directly about independence, as in political independence. Some people have responded to that and thought about a disabled child, or they've thought about a wife leaving a husband or so, you know, and we may reflect on the way that makes us think about Scotland at this political moment, but also we may just reflect on the idea of independence. But the submissions I read from abroad tended towards the more kind of tangential. Perhaps understandably, people didn't sort of feel a need to comment on directly, if you like, on Scottish politics. But even then, you know, if you're watching a piece from America about two lovers on the New York subway, you know, you're still drinking your glass of wine. The piece before might well have been quite direct about Scottish politics, and then suddenly you've got another angle and you go, oh, that. So you're always going to be thinking. I think we are bringing to the table the moment of our watching, and that's quite interesting.
It's going to be really fascinating to see how they speak, I guess, how these pieces speak to each other depending on the order, and you have no idea what the order is. You're not trying to control that,
no,
I guess.
Not really. I mean, there's one or two things, like there's a piece which parodies the 10 o'clock news, so we do that at 10 o'clock, and there's some pieces which, you know, rely on daylight, so they get done in the daytime. But basically, no, there isn't a control. I certainly don't have control. The very last one is a piece that the Oran Moore group have made, and we made it to be the very last piece. So that's, you know, that's one where we did have some control. But no, basically they will speak to each other the way the dice fall, and again, I rather like that. I think that's in the spirit of it.
Yeah, I think that sounds really interesting, and it sounds just amazing because you have to come to it and you build those connections. You know, what is that very polemical piece from Scotland saying to the one who about the couple in New York, and you have that thematic, you link it thematically however you want. In terms of your own work and output, Did you create your pieces after you had viewed and considered the other ones and had the process of going through the submissions and considering which ones would be performed? Was that process, did that affect your own writing process at all?
We're literally rehearsing the stuff this week, and I'm writing tonight. I mean, I wrote last night and I'm writing tonight. So yeah, it did come after. Yes, it affected me in the sense that I definitely didn't. Well, actually, it sort of released me to be a bit more point of view and a bit more political cabaret, because actually we're surrounded by a lot of stuff that feels gentle and not necessarily head on. So I thought there was a bit of room for some head on political comment. And Dave McLennan had left some pieces of writing, which we were always going to do. So we've done three, I think, of Dave's pieces will be part of the show, and I've done three, and we've devised a couple. So yeah, those will be threaded through, and they'll be quite interesting. And yeah, I find it, I mean, I'm not actually naturally, I'm very political as a person. I'm quite active as a writer. I'm very my muse appears not to be agitprop. I find it very, very hard, even though I might even want to. I mean, I might sometimes I think, oh, I really would love to write something that would really put the case for Scottish independence, but the moment I try to do it, it just crumbles and becomes, you know, about a man having a nervous breakdown. So it's not very helpful to the cause.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I'm desperate to write it, and I admire so much the people who can do it well, but I'm also totally aware of all the people who have done it absolutely horribly and embarrassingly and didn't help anybody.
it's hard. But I think, you know, it's a safe space because the audience are going to, you know, if you don't like one, there's going to be another one along in 5 minutes. So to some extent, you have a feeling that, you know, you're not doing something where it's got to go on every night for 6 weeks. We're trying stuff out and we're playing stuff around, but I've got a few ideas that was fun to have, and I hope we'll manage to pull them off.
And as somebody who I guess, I mean we can say this, right? Like you're strongly in the yes camp, you're strongly in the yes camp. How did that affect your relationship with this performance? I mean, were people concerned about somebody who was so pro independence being in charge of this kind of project? Were you seeing and reading things that you thought, okay, this is actually a really good argument I need to have? Because I think the thing I miss most about debates, I find, is that like in any bubble, you just keep getting feedback, and you actually don't increase the strength of your own rhetoric. Mm. You know, if you're not getting that other side. So you must have found different arguments or different rationales.
The two things was that we originally conceived it with David and myself, and David was very skeptical of independence. So there was a kind of balance already built in that David and I co-curated. I never found it problematic to curate, because Dame Theatre is a harsh and unforgiving mistress, and she doesn't, and really, you know, if a piece doesn't work, it just doesn't work, and it's just horrible to be around. So you really, any political thoughts go out of the window. I mean, I can't imagine a circumstance where I would, you know, this is a terrible example, but, you know, I could imagine going, well, it is a very right-wing Tory. Actually, no, in fact, I have encountered very right plays that are essentially quite right-wing, but they're just better than a really awful left-wing play. And in the end, there's a reason. What good, I mean, it's what does the word good mean? And I think as long as theatre is properly theatre, then its ostensible right or left-wingness is always going to be trumped by the humanity of all its characters and the circumstances and the ambiguities of the situation. So I think that in a sense that lets the curator off the hook, whether it's yes or no. If you choose the good theatre, you're really doing a kind of public service and a kind of democratic and political service, because the good theatre will always in the end be the complex stuff. So I didn't really have to select for balance as such, because, and you know, yesterday I spent a long time working on a piece that Dave McLennan had written that we were rehearsing. I mean, politically, I disagree with it. I was thinking there were things that I, well, you know, it's not strictly true that, you know, Salmond has said he's going to get rid of nuclear weapons. And, he said there was a little line in it which is skeptical about whether that will actually happen or not. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. The point was, it was a funny scene. It's a funny song, and its central idea was that independence is kind of really just a change of who's in charge of the reins, and the same old, you know, forces of reaction are in charge. And that's a very funny and interesting and reasonable and complicated position to explore. And as a piece of theatre, it works. And it's much, much more fun to work on that than it would have been for me to work on something that said precisely what I think, but with no complexity or in a dull way.
It's so interesting that your artistic side overrides any political thing. You knew that would happen, yeah?
I maybe knew, but I certainly know now. I mean, yeah. No, in fact, I think it's a really fascinating thing that... It kind of, I quite like it in a way. It's like a force you're not in control of. And I think it also makes a certain degree of sense because, you know, my job as a political commentator, or at least as a public human being, is to be as political in a public way as I feel I ought. And, you know, I go about and try to do that. My job is to make good theatre, and that's what I'd really try to do. The Great Yes, No, Don't Know show is made by what we... slightly patronising, call ordinary people, but it's made by people who are not theatre professionals. And so the work will inevitably and obviously be of a sort of wildly varying standard. But I really like that. I think that's good. And I still think the same instinct applies. You know, if you think of it in terms of plumbing, in some cases, the plumbing will be unorthodox. You know, it will be, the pipes will be a bit ramshackle. But does the water flow? You know, that's the key to it. And I think what excites me about the Great Yes, No, Don't Know show is that out of all of these submissions, and certainly the times I've watched 5-minute theatre in the past, you'd be amazed at how much good theatre there is. I mean, it's good theatre, but acted by a 5-year-old, or it's good theatre, but, you know, plainly the set is made of decorated cardboard. But it's good. And that actually, that's the lovely bit. That's the really delightful and inspiring bit.
What's it been like going back and working with David's text and stuff? Has that been hard? Or it's got to be a very interesting position to be in.
It's been a funny week because he was supposed to be there and... everybody in the room has worked with Dave before, and I think possibly people who've lost close relatives would recognize this, that it's very hard to notice that someone isn't in the room. It feels like they've just left the room. So you're working on Dave's piece, it doesn't feel odd at all. It feels very natural. That's what we would be doing. We'd be working on his piece. We'd be waiting for him to come in and give his opinion and say how we should change it. I think it will be a little bit more emotionally complicated on the night, because then I think his absence will be quite keenly felt. But I also think there's something that one of the nicest things that could happen for me in the aftermath of Dave's passing is to be working on this show, because I feel his handprints all over it. It's in its spirit and in its democracy and in its ebullience and openness, and, you know, and so I think that's also been part of why it's sort of odd to say, but it's been pleasurable. I mean, it's been better than sort of sitting at home and doing something else and then just your mind sort of remembering almost randomly. It's nicer to be focused and working on something that was really a project that I think he was at the heart of.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful thing that, and it just strikes me as it must be incredibly difficult at times. So I admire you for putting it together and doing it. And the whole project is really ambitious and sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's lunatically ambitious. And that, again, is a reason people should tune in, because you're never going to see it again. You know, you're really not. And it's worth it just to say you saw it. I think I have a real feeling that, come on, I mean, but really straightforwardly, if you're a person who lives in Scotland or has any connection to Scotland, think about 10 years time, and you could say to people, oh yeah, no, I sat and, you know, I stayed with for 24 hours all the people all around Scotland putting in these 5-minute shows, and it was a crazy night, but actually I got a sense of where this country was in this momentous year. And then whatever way the vote goes, you'll sort of know that you were somehow a bit part of it. And I think that, you know, that surely has some value. It starts at 5 p.m. on Monday the 23rd of June, and it carries on until 5 p.m. on Tuesday the 24th of June. So it goes a long evening Monday night, then through into the wee small hours, then out into the morning and dawn, and then through the day, and it finishes just towards the end of the working day with a piece that we're performing at the Citizens Theatre.
Well, everybody get out there, either live or on the internet. Go find it. It's at 5minutetheatre.com, right?
That's right, yes.
David, thank you so much for talking to us about this.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Casting parts of wonder and amazement. Multicolored cultural.